You're listening to DraftKings Network.
We're here. Everything is set up. I just got back from a dentist appointment. Now we're on TV, Amy. Okay.
Yeah. Any cavities for you, Christian?
No cavities. So pretty good. You know what? I think it was. I got a new toothbrush. My fiance got me this electronic toothbrush, which I've never was a fan of. I'm like, what? You have the batteries charge? Who needs all that? But apparently, and I learned this on TikTok, and you're awesome on TikTok, by the way. But the apparently. Regular toothbrushes are like terrible for you. You're supposed to use an electronic toothbrush because it gives you more brushes than your like hand and arm can do. And I think that's been the main difference. My teeth are like it was in and out. I cleaned it, took like 6-7 minutes. It was just a quick tune up.
So in a world before soccer, well actually during soccer, but in another life. Amy worked at a dental office for about 2.5 years. So it's true. The motion does need to help you.
The motion in the ocean. Wait, what are we talking about? I'm talking about my teeth, Amy. I don't know why it's already gotten to the gutter so fast. Amy, thank you so much for joining me today. My guest co-host today again, yesterday. We had Christine Kupa the week prior. We had Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show. Alexis is still in Paris. He was in London last week. He's in Paris now. But he is just gallivanting through Europe, just crossing every European zone, getting fancier cheeses as he moves along. But... you are here. It's interesting because I had asked Christine Kupo yesterday to do the show, a Gooner, and I didn't even remember. You're wearing the Arsenal kit, another Gooner to replace Alexis.
Although I will preface my, first of all, always an honor to be on the show. It's always a lot of fun. I got excited when I got your message. But I have to say, I will not be sacrificing any of my family members in the name of a top four spot.
Okay. So you see, you clearly don't want it bad enough. I guess. I mean, some people are a little bit more dedicated than you are.
Although I respect it. I respect it 100%. Understand it. I just can't do it myself.
All good. So thank you, everybody. We're here live on YouTube. I'm here with Amelia Lopez. Do you prefer Amelia? I put Amelia there on the card there, but a lot of people call you Amy, but I don't know. I've never asked you this question. What do you prefer generally to be called?
So my running gag is that I don't really have a singular name because when I was growing up, I'm legally Amy. So cat's out of the bag. I'm legally Amy, but my uncles and my family members used to butcher my name. So they'd call me Ami for a long time. Everybody called me Emily and stuff like that. So I at this point in life, I know that when like I can understand when like a voice is directed at me.
Right.
So even if they're like Allie, I'm like, no, they're talking. They're okay, it's me. Although I do say that in my everyday life, people call me Amy. Like my family and Ollie, obviously, as everybody knows, calls me Amy. And then people that don't know me call me Amelia. But it's gotten kind of funny now because like family members that don't really know me. And that's like my metric now is like family members that don't really know me call me Amelia because they don't really know.
Right. Yeah. See, I kind of have the same thing because when I started doing stand up, I go by Christian Polanco. But everybody growing up, everybody calls me Chris. Like, so anybody who calls me Christian, you met me.
You ain't a real one.
Yeah. You met me in 2009 or after. And if you call me Chris, you knew me pre 2008, pre comedy, PC, as they say. So I'm glad we sorted that out. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. We're here live on YouTube. Everybody here in the chat, say hello to Amy if you haven't yet. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. I set a rule now. You have to subscribe to be able to speak in the chat. So, I'm like the bouncer here. here. All right, you're not wearing.
Did you do the subscriber only available chat? Because Coachella had that too. Are you like Coachella?
I'm pretty much Coachella. I am high on ecstasy right now. Okay, I'm good to go. but today is it's shouts to US. That's the title of the show our fans have coined. So that is so we're going to be talking about American soccer, some MLS, a lot of MLS stuff, NWSL, and then if Amy has obviously works for Footmex Nation, so if there's anything you think we should cover, especially maybe with Liga MX Femenil, happy to talk about it as always. So feel free, if there's anything in the to people in the chat, if there's anything you would like us to discuss, put it in the chat. We have a couple of things that we're going to be talking about today, and then we'll get to some of those questions. So Paolo in the chat says shouts to US, and Paolo says still resting in Paris, referring to Alexis, because we said RIP, which now means resting in Paris, so it's a little bit more optimistic than what it normally goes for. Crimson Pizza said, that's Latino life. My name is Jose. My mom's family calls me Menying because my dad's nickname was Menyo, and other family call me David because that's my middle name. So there's no rules in a Latin household, you know. This is a weird one. Like my grandmother calls me Tito. No idea why. She's the only one who calls it, but everybody knows when she says Tito, she's talking about me.
Talking about you. I mean, Ollie's name is Oliver legally, and obviously Ollie's a really easy nickname for common Olivers. But I named him after Olivier Giroud. So I call him Olivier sometimes, and he answers me. So, I mean, it's not that far away from Oliver, but yeah, it's like we just change people's names.
And you know what? He's just as handsome too. Okay.
I agree. 100%.
So, you know, and Ollie's great. You know, he joined us on the show once, when you did the show, almost 2 years ago, I think, or maybe a year and a half ago. And I think that's one of the interesting things, that because your son calls you Amy instead of mom. I don't know what's the ratio to mom and Amy's, but it is it's cute, but then it's also, I guess, coming from, you know, from
100%
family. It's like, wait, hold on. There seems to be some disrespect here.
From a Hispanic Latinx background, it's like, you know, it's like blasphemy at that point. Like, I think everybody finally got used to it at this point, but there was a long time where people would go, no, it's Amy, it's mama, you know, blow. And I just sit there like, I mean, like, let's just let it go.
Let him live, let him live.
But as he gets older and he's like in school and everything, you know, he can like interchange them. Because for a long time he used to go Amy, Amy, Amy. And people would be like, who is Amy? But now when he's like in school and like general settings, he's like, my mom, Amy. So like he gives me a title.
Another one that's interesting, and for anybody who's not Hispanic, this is going to be a nice, you know, Latino lesson for everybody. But my Colombian friends, and I think that this is very common in Colombian culture, where siblings will talk about their parents. And they'll say like, tu mamá me dijo, like they'll say your mother said to go move the car or something. And I'm like, who's mom? Wait,
this is how, you know, sometimes you live in like a bubble. Cause I live in a predominantly and have grown up in like predominantly Hispanic, Latinx, or like even Mexican people. Mm-hmm. Right. And it wasn't until I started actually interacting with like, frankly, like white kids that they would go like my brothers and I go, my mom or my dad's calling you or mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Right. And they're like, you all have the same parent. And blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize that it was such a thing like that.
Yeah.
You know, I guess culturally we just do.
Don't get it. Yeah. I mean, it's mostly within that circle. I guess everybody understands it. But to other people, maybe even to other Latinos, where I'm just like, wait, OK, who you? I mean, it's fine if you have two different moms or two different dads, but when you're talking about the same, like they say siblings are the closest like relative that you have because you share the same blood of two people, so you're the closest in like genetically, so you should be proud of that, right? A little bit. So you shouldn't be like, my mom. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, okay. Brush says, big up, guys. Pepe Sedan said, and my mom is a sweetheart, referring to Pepe Sedan said, I would get chased down the block with a belt if I ever called my mom by her name. So look, hey, look, it's a different time. We're in a different era. Imagine Amy is chasing Ollie down the block with a belt. She's getting canceled immediately. It's not gonna work out well. Okay, you gotta adapt to our times.
Also, given the way that our life works between me and the two boys, they'd be chasing me down the street with a belt.
Like, that's fair. Colo Blanco said, "LOL, my family does that. Being Colombian, I can confirm." Okay, so we sorted it out. Joe Whitlock said, "My Colombian friend pronounces yo like my name with a bit of a J sound, like yo." Okay. So when I first met him and I said my name was Joe, he thought I was saying my name was I. Love it. Love it. You're a good dude. I got to say. okay. Where should we begin today? I think we should start with Nashville SC opening their new stadium. They have a new soccer specific stadium, and obviously, I'm in New Jersey technically right now, but being an NYCFC fan, there's no way to talk about this without being bitter, jealous, angry.
Do you think if they won a championship, they would have a bigger poster? Like, do you think
that's what's holding us back? The championship banner is not big enough for the city council in New York to see it, and they're the ones that are like, hey, we will give you a stadium if you just got a bigger banner. No, it is. Since NYCFC started in 2015. That's when the Cooligans began. We always say, like, if NYCFC didn't exist, the Cooligans would not exist. We are inextricably bound for eternity. But then ever since NYCFC began, please, in the chat, name any I've missed, but how many stadiums have been built since NYCFC got started? We know, obviously, Nashville, Miami, Austin, LAFC, Audi Field, DC.
Do we count Miami though? Because didn't they just get approved for their like technical official stadium?
Oh sure. I mean it'd be nice. We can't even build a fake stadium. Be great to build a fake stadium that is just temporarily there until the real one is, you know, as the placeholder. But we don't even have that. So I count Miami, Minnesota, Cincy. Was seven.
Since he's got a stadium before you guys do.
What is this? When NYCFC won MLS Cup, I was like, I honestly did not think NYCFC would win an MLS Cup before they got a stadium built. I just didn't see it happening that quickly. But this in particular, Nashville SC, who as an expansion team have been pretty good. I think bringing in Walker Zimmerman.
And now
they got him. They signed him to a DP contract now, right? He was like, we had him on the show when we had his first year at Nashville, and he was pretty devastated leaving LAFC. He really, obviously it's a great environment, and the fan base is, they loved him. Let's not be crazy, but Bob Bradley had different plans. It's really worked out for him. I think if Walker Zimmerman doesn't, leave and be, he's like the guy in Nashville, I don't think he becomes the number one center back for the US either.
I agree, because I was gonna say I think with LAFC you did see that potential, and for a while it was really relevant. I think at the moment that he left, it was still a shock, but there was a little bit like, I can kind of see why he's leaving. Not to say that he should have, but you're like, I can see why he needs to explore different ventures. But yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely amazing. Both times that they faced Mexico, for sure. That first one when I went to, where were we at? Cincinnati? Yeah, we were in Cincinnati. Yeah. He just absolutely, like, I was watching the game and I was like, this, like, he's the best player on the field right now. I felt like that game and stuff. And so I think he's had a huge part in just, and it's cool. You know, I think it's nice when you see players that, even if it's disappointing or something, they go and thrive somewhere else and they do well. I think it's very cool to see that. And I think it was cool to see, you know, I didn't watch the whole game, but I think it was cool to watch this opener. And, you know, I think sometimes with MLS, and I'm, I, you know, I know the LeMX MLS thing still is kind of relevant, but I've always enjoyed both leagues in their own different ways. You know, they're like my children. Like, I don't love anyone more than the other one. Right, they're both kind of there. But I do think that sometimes in MLS, like you mentioned with all these stadiums and all these expansion teams, sometimes it does feel really orchestrated, you know, a lot, where you're just like, I get that this is an opening game and I get this is like the first stadium, but I don't believe it.
Right.
And I didn't feel that way with this match in okay. Nashville.
Yeah, there is a you know, getting to go to, I've been, as far as home openers, I've been to Austin FC's home opener. I was at Minnesota's home opener. I don't know I can't remember for any others, but there is something, you know, when on TV, it's, and because, you know, even as much as I may know about American soccer, I don't know about these like specific, the regional soccer culture of these cities. But when you go there, especially in Austin and especially in Minnesota, like, I mean, what it means to the people there, it just, we're just kind of so closed off from each other. And even like American soccer Twitter is its own bubble and its own cliques. So you don't really get, if somebody doesn't have like an MLS team, you may know about like the lower league team or USL or NISA or whatever, but it doesn't really get into your bubble that often. But when you actually go and you're like boots on the ground in these cities, like in Austin, in that first game was unbelievable. There was no goals. It was 0-0, and it was just electric. It was the hanging out with the fans even the night before. It was like, there was a soccer culture there, like 20 years prior. Like, we just didn't know about it. And a lot, especially in Austin, a lot of the fans were like Tigres fans. So they already have a culture in place. And you saw it with like the drummers, a lot of the people, it was Tigres fans that were like, okay, now we have a team in Austin. This is how it's done. And it's basically the Mexican culture in Austin being like, okay, white people, we're gonna explain exactly how this goes. Everybody have a seat. I'm gonna let you know what you gotta need to do. But and then it all comes together and it's absolutely beautiful. And you see that especially in a city like Austin.
I think Austin is just a little tricky. I feel like Austin in general is just like a very interesting topic point when it comes to MLS expansion teams, because I haven't watched too many of their games aside from the fact that they're suddenly doing better than they were last season.
right,
but do they still have the vote chant? Is it still part of their
which,
chant?
Which chant? What is it
called? I don't remember the whole thing with Austin and the expansion, and it was like a 5-3 vote or something. It was, and they had that as like a chant, like the vote that made them a team as part of the chant. I remember it was really relevant, like when they were coming up. And, you know, like it's not a cookie cutter formula, but you know, these days, you kind of get the gist of like, oh, they're announcing a team. Oh, look, here's their supporter group that appeared out of nowhere and stuff. You know, and then they'll come up with chants and they'll have like the color where like media goes, and I remember one of them was like, they announced like their website and they're like, here are all the list of our chants, and one of them was like the vote. It was like the 5-3.
So I think it's gotten a little bit better than that, but the okay. One my favorite one, they have a chant for Selena. It was from Austin, right, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if she was exactly from Austin, but
no, I think she's from Texas.
But yeah. So they do a chant because the area code is 512 in Austin. So they do a chant that is El Chico del Apartamento 512. But they do a soccer one. I forgot exactly how it goes. Like El Equipo de Austin de 512, something like that. But it's like fire. I was like, yo, first day, I'm like, this it slaps right here. Because this hits home, okay? This is in my playlist right now. This is great. Dennis Higgins said that's the power of Matthew McConaughey, which that was another fascinating. Yeah, there's like, it's interesting because with MLS culture and American soccer culture, there's a twinge of like soccer mom kind of silly, you know, it's a little goofy at times. Like, did you see the with Nashville? With Nashville, did you see the Reese Witherspoon tweet that I think People Magazine, I could find it in a moment, but they basically said, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans soccer team. Yeah. and a picture of Reese Witherspoon, who's one of the owners.
And I think coming back to this, like, Liga MX, or like, right, like this extended non-American soccer origin that you have when you associate, you know, just like fan bases and clubs and all that stuff. I think you have to accept it. I think sometimes, and I really, like, I think I appreciate that from, like, a certain niche of, like, American soccer Twitter, what you were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, this is, like, peak MLS. You know, they're going to mess up the name. You know, there's going to be a celebrity there that is now an owner, right? That's the whole reason that Reese Witherspoon was even there. Now she's a part owner of Nashville, and she's there with the jersey. And, like, there's a part of you that goes, does she even know what's going on the field? Like, did she even know who Walker Zimmerman is? Like, you know, like, these questions arise, but I think that it's part of the culture at this point that, like, you can have a decent laugh about it, right? Like, you can poke fun at this idea of what happens when, like, an MLS team gets a stadium or there's an expansion side, and there's going to be plenty more of those. So,
yeah, here's the tweet. The original tweet was from People, but this is Yahoo saying, Reese Witherspoon roots for Tennessee Titans soccer team with her husband, Jim Toth, and son. Which, and it's also, I hate this diminishing of, like, she owns the team. She's not just rooting. She's really, like, done a lot. Maybe, like, give her a little bit more credit than just this tiny little caption. It's very silly. Okay. So, what was it? There was another thing I was going to bring up. Anyway, so we'll move on to the next thing. You mentioned Austin FC and the fact that they're playing so well. This is actually pretty confusing to me, because they not only do they give up a wild goal against Houston.
Did that quick question? Sorry to interrupt you. Does that game have like a clasico name? Like, weren't people trying to frame it as like this like rivalry match or
something?
Which,
Austin and Houston?
Yeah.
I don't know. So obviously now with Austin, Houston, and FC Dallas, there's similar to like Cascadia Cup. I think if it's not already in place, I think the plan is to do something with those three teams and have like a trophy and have a little competition between the three teams. But I don't know if there's an official name yet. It might be. If anybody is from there and knows, please let me know. But the fact that Austin FC, they've been going back and forth with LAFC for the top of the Supporter Shield standings. But then they don't
wait, because don't they usually play before LAFC? So right. Then they're like bragging and they're like, it feels so good to be at the top. Like, LAFC plays like 3 hours later, man. Like,
they Austin FC, if you follow both of them on Twitter, one of them will brag and then be like, yo, pump your brakes, and then LAFC will end up back on top. So they kind of been going back and forth at each other. Mm-hmm. There is like a Alexa and I talk about this all the time, where the culture of banter between the social media admins has it's at a new level. I don't pay attention to the social media of other sports as much as I do soccer, or and definitely not as like not all the leagues in the world or whatever, but within MLS and also NWSL, there is the social media admins are competing against each other as well. You know what I mean? There's like there should be another table to see who's winning when it comes to that in engagement and metrics.
It's definitely very, very spicy over at MLS admin Twitter. I even from an LA Galaxy standpoint, they're just pressing the national team's buttons every time Chicharito scores.
We should talk about that in a moment, because that's always a big debate, you know, whether he should be playing for Mexico or not. But we'll get to that in a moment. So LAFC and Austin FC are in first and second place. LAFC is in first. Austin FC. LAFC, they've won a Supporter Shield in the past. So not as shocking, but Austin FC were really, really bad last year. They just had no plan. They couldn't defend. They really had a lot of issues scoring. And they were just giving up so many goals. And it's hard to believe that they're this good. They're like legitimately winning games. You see there, they have only one loss, playing with a new confidence that is pretty impressive. I know you said you hadn't watched many Austin FC games, but just the fact that they're in second place, what are your first thoughts when you see that?
I think I tweeted like every couple of days. I'm like, they're actually good. Like, I am in utter shock. I don't know. I go back to like my idea of like the chant and just like the soft spot that Austin or like the, you know, yeah, like the, like babies have, like, I don't know. It's just like a really delicate subject with Austin. Cause it's just like, they were supposed to take away like another team's spot and then they didn't. So right. Then they switched over and stuff. But I mean, if they're doing good, good for them. You know, do I root for them? Do I want them to succeed? No, I'm a hater for life. But you know, good for them.
Yeah, because you're. I was gonna say you're a Galaxy supporter, right? You've been a Galaxy supporter for a long time.
I was discreetly it, but then everybody made it and was like, no, we can see it. It's like very obvious. So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna deny it anymore. Like, go ahead. But even with that, I will give LAFC the credit that they have, because I've been covering them, or I started covering them when I was still a journalist, you know, from the very beginning, and like Vela and all that stuff. You know, I think the culture that 3252 is, you know, is an insane atmosphere. The bank itself is really cool. And I think there was a lot of doubt. I know we started talking about Austin, but if we're going to look at the top of the table for the Supporters Shield, I think that there's some credit to be given to Cherundolo for what he's been able to do. I mean, it's hard to mess it up, right? But people can do that. People can have a really right. good place. I mean, look at the Galaxy that has slot them for 2 years, right? And then did nothing with them. So, you know, there is that possibility of like, you have all these ducks in a row and then you can't figure out what to do with them. And I think he's figured out like this kind of like solid plan with them. You know, I think even a huge talking point in this last game that they had was like, Vela's not even at his best and they're still winning. And I think if, you know, him, I know there's been talks about him still trying to negotiate his contract, but they're looking like it's going to get close to closing at this point soon. But I do like the idea that he's not the only player that's important now. And I think LAFC has done a really good job about that with a new coach, right? That many were like, why is he coming on? You know, there's maybe some, not nepotism, right? But it's like, it's just convenient to hire this coach and stuff. But I mean,
he got a little, I mean, there was definitely skepticism. 100%. Yeah, because Alexis and I went to Germany and Bundesliga brought us to like two different matches, and Steve Cherundolo, which I don't know how they got, they were just like, you're going to, he was like literally our tour guide. If like Steve Cherundolo should have been holding our hand everywhere we went. Like, he was so nice, taking us everywhere, answering all our questions. I hope they paid him well for this, because he was our babysitter, but he was great. Such a nice guy. We interviewed him and we like befriended Steve Cherundolo, where when he got hired by Las Vegas Lights, I was like, all right, I'm hoping this works out. And then we got to LAFC. I'm like, all right, this is too fast. All right. I know he's a good guy, but is he ready for this? And I think, this example,
you called them up and you're like, Steve, as your close personal friend, I just need you. Okay. Listen, you know me, right? You know me as Chris, right?
We,
not Chris.
We been boys. We been boys. but this is, I think, an incredible example of how incredible LAFC are playing. This the goal against Minnesota. Over the weekend, but just look at these like just connections. I think they this is the 89th minute, so I think Vela already got subbed off, and it led to a goal. Back heels, they're having a good time out there, playing with a level of freedom. I think if Bob Bradley would have seen those back heels, he'd be like, "Hey, you're getting subbed off. No, we're not doing that. That's not the pragmatic." game that we play, okay? So, but this is you see it from Cherundolo on the sidelines. I mean, every time they score a goal, the smiles, I mean, just that alone, he's smiling when the team is doing well. And I think that is with all due respect to Bob Bradley, he's a legendary coach and he is good at his job, but I think it shows that LAFC could have really used that culture change.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, and I've seen it in like a few teams. And I mean, we see it in teams, right? It's something, it is. Sometimes it's like the weight of not having too much pressure, of not having to deal with like a certain kind of personality or something. I think that even on the field level, he's done actually pretty good about, you know, like youth players and the veteran players. I think he's also worked out a way where like Vela will still be Vela. Vela will still have a relevant role on the team, but when he subs out, they're not going to lose that momentum. It's not going to be such a significant impact. I think like Moose has been really good. Fall has been really good. I think that they're finding a good form where like these players are not only delivering, but they're gaining confidence every time they deliver. And I think that's always been one of LAFC's greatest strengths, is like they don't rely to, even when Vela was Vela, you know, you had Rossi and you know, there was like a good partnership there. And I think they always find a way to keep their options open, and it's working out. I mean, I think it almost, I don't want to say it, like it's kind of early, so things can change throughout the season. But I mean, you look at them play against MLS teams, and then, you know, they absolutely thrashed in the US Open Cup. You know, it's like it's very fluid in the way that they play. And I think that's what makes them really strong offensively.
It's fun to see. Yeah, they were good in the past, obviously, but they are better. They're a better team, and just in like a slightly different way. They're playing a little bit more loose. You could clearly see that, like the Chirundolo's like ideas,
loose, more intelligently, like it's clicking, right? Like backheel passes are sometimes deliberate, but sometimes they're also with a shred of luck, you know. Yeah. But I think even that, like you're saying, it's like it all comes together. Because I even remember when we were watching that game and we're watching that play, my dad is like, "Oh, the goalie did bad there," and I'm like, "I don't think there's anything the goalie can do at that point." You know? It's just all flowing so well together that they're going to end up finishing up that shot.
And what should the goalie have done here? Because the homie Brad Stuver, I mean, this you hate when this happens to a friend, because Brad Stuver obviously was the backup goalkeeper for NYCFC. Great dude. He's doing a bunch of great like community work for Austin FC, as he did in New York. But he gave up he is in just a place he should not be. And Sebastian Ferreira, doing the Carly Lloyd from distance. And this, every time this happens, it always looks bad. It always, like, you know, really, the goal.
There's like a part of me that's like, like at that point, why even try to block it? You know you're not gonna it's like when my kid, like, I don't know, like when he has soda, you know, and I'm like, why am I even gonna try to discipline him? Like he's running on pure absolute sugar fuel. Like there's nothing I can do. This was inevitable. Just let it go.
Huge.
It almost feels humiliating at that point. It's like,
he was trying to make a clearance, but obviously in that situation, you just hit the ball out of bounds.
The clearance is fine. It's like at this point, like, no. like how do they say it? I know I say it a lot, like on Twitter, but it's like, mijo, no, yeah.
You should have stopped at the 18 yard line. Like just,
but, yeah, just let it go in.
I mean, a great hit and like perfectly in the middle of the box to pretty much almost, you know, he couldn't reach it. It was just a well-placed ball. I'm concerned. Houston has like these. I think it's just going to be another like up and down kind of season for them. They just like they don't have the consistency. To even make the playoffs and stuff like that. They missed it last year, but they have highlights like this, and then they lose this game 2-1. And the fact that Austin could come back was really impressive. So Pep is the downside, and he got hurt too. Did he get hurt?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like you just read, like you see, I mean, I didn't see the rest of it, but you can kind of tell, like he's throwing himself into the net. Like for what? Like, what are we it's like I tell my kids sometimes, like, what are we doing here? Like, what objective are we trying to hit at this point? Right. I talk to my child like if he's a corporate businessman.
Yeah. How do you feel? Because obviously you have kind of I'll put some context around this. But Amy is also works for like an agency. So now you also, because you were in Spain recently, right? Working with, so you get to represent players and stuff like that. So I guess my question to you is, sometimes players have bad days or a bad play. How do you talk to them about it in a way that, you know, you're not trying to humiliate them, but you understand that the internet might pile on them for a day or two?
So I actually don't get to handle that arm of the agency.
Okay.
It's more of like, you know, like the, how do I say it? More like the consulting marketing side of like what we're able to do. And then if like a player is involved, then I'll kind of handle that aspect of it. But I know oftentimes at the end of the day, and this is more like a cheesy standpoint, like players are humans, right? So definitely like check in on them.
I respectfully disagree, but okay, you can have your point. You know, it's fine.
you think players are not humans? Like,
that is the stance I'm taking. I can type whatever I want to them. They don't feel. They make a lot of money, so it's okay for me to say what I want.
So I think, you know, it's actually really funny. Oftentimes, and I think you've interviewed certain players. It depends, right? It's like not hit or miss, but it's like depending on the kind of player you talk to, they either don't even check social media or they're like very involved in it, right?
Right,
but
they either don't check it at all, or they literally like looking at their phone while they're in every conversation with other people.
Or you have those specific kind of players that literally search their name, but you know, to each their own. I think it totally depends. Hearing from what I hear from that side of it, you definitely just like check in on them, you know, you kind of just say like, you know what, this happens and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I would imagine, you know, somebody checked in on him. It totally depends. Like this is more of an open-ended question of us getting to know each other, Christian. I feel like I would respect it more if like my brothers texted me like way to clear it, like just saying something like
right,
clear,
right,
like,
making fun, like,
make
yeah.
fun of me. We can get that over with, and then I can move on with the rest of my.
Sure, we acknowledge it happened. We can laugh about it, and the sooner we can laugh about it, the sooner we can move on. Because I mean, especially goalkeepers, you don't have a good goalkeeping career without a couple howlers, a couple just embarrassing moments, you know. And I would imagine goalkeepers are probably more upset at like getting beat near post than like something like this. It's like, all right, this is like a one in a million. I probably should have just hit it out and not given the other team an opportunity to control the ball to end up hitting it. But yeah, this is you know, it's part of the game. So but you know, part of the game is getting made fun of a little bit. All right, I've had some very terrible plays on the pitch. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember playing. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, you've also had moments where you are very upset at somebody for
exactly.
their
Exactly. All right. You know.
Hashtag never forget.
Okay. Wisa will never be forgiven for not passing me the ball at an open net because he's such
The LeBron meme was lived in real life. Pasadena, California last year.
Right. We played. It was MLS All-Star. We played in like a pickup game that Amy put together. And
oh no! Don't give me credit. It was another member of the Liga MX and community. But
okay. Well, regardless, Wiso has become infamous for just really. He said, "You know what? I heard him say this out loud. He said, I don't think this Dominican dude could score here. This is not his game. This is not his sport. I feel like
comes to CONCACAF ratings. I just don't feel."
He saw the little Dominican flag on my FIFA card, and he's like, no, I don't think." No.
Values have gone down. Okay. You know,
so next time Dominican Republic plays Mexico, I'm gonna be watching. All right.
Also I tweet about it a lot, but I play in co-ed leagues throughout the week, and the sitters that I miss, I'm just happy that there are no cameras watching these.
also the babysitters that you miss. You've had some great babysitters in your life. So, shouts to them. Great people doing great work. Okay. All right. So let's move on. I'm wearing a Sounders kit. CCL final, second leg is happening tomorrow, Wednesday, May 4th at some time. I don't know, wherever time zone you're in. But it is 2-2 in aggregate. Seattle Sounders against Pumas. I've seen Pumas play in person when they played in the Leagues Cup. They played against NYCFC. They won against NYCFC in penalties. Pumas won the Leagues. No, they didn't win the Leagues Cup. Who won the Leagues Cup? Cruz Azul? Who won it?
Last year. Last year was León.
León. Okay.
It was and León versus the Sounders.
Sounders, yes. And then Sounders beat them in CCL.
Vegas.
Okay. So, how are you feeling about this game? And now we got the Liga MX expert in here, because I said, even I was surprised at that first leg, because I after watching Seattle Sounders in both matches against NYCFC, they were great. They were dominant. They were just really incredible on the ball. I felt after watching those two games, I'm like, yo, I think Sounders are going to win this comfortably. And those that first half, they were like, okay, no, they're not going to win this comfortably. Pumas were very good. Yeah.
I think this is the first special case. One, congratulations to Pumas for making it to the final. I think that is a really interesting concept to see. I think their coach is one of those coaches in Liga MX this season, alongside Puebla's coach, that you're like, wow, I want to know what he's doing to these players to make them believe. Like, it's actually been pretty interesting to watch. Interesting also because in regular season, Liga MX, like regular season, Pumas is actually in the repechaje. They just barely made it. So right. The way that the Mexican League works now is like four automatically qualify for the playoffs, technically, the Liguilla, and then there's an additional eight teams. It's really stupid. Yeah,
it's a lot of teams.
we got to make a top 12 spot to make postseason.
Mini playoff, you know? Yeah.
So it's like a kind of like a wild card-esque elimination round and stuff. So they barely made that. So it's like the juxtaposition of like these two scenarios, right? You have a CCL championship, and then you have Liga MX, and the team has just been juggling those two things for the past month and a half or so, yeah. Like that. So it's been very impressive. But I think for this scenario specifically between the Sounders and Pumas going into the first leg, which was at, the Universitario, and now going over to Seattle, I think home field advantage is like such a huge factor. I think it was such a huge factor in the first game. I do think that penalties benefited both teams. I don't think there's any negating that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
How did you feel about that late penalty, that second one, the foul on Christian Roldan? I mean, I get it.
I think at that point, as the ref, you have to call it. Like, it's very, very, like...
It was definitely, like... I could have understood if he didn't call it.
It was very Doughboy soft, you know?
Christian Roldan went... when he got fouled, because it was a little gentle, but I was just surprised that they called it, because everybody's like, when CONCACAF at an exponential level, like it did in that moment,
I don't mind the CONCACAF. I don't mind it as a verb. I don't mind it as an adjective. I really don't. I enjoy the banter kind of thing, but it's like, guys, stupid things happen in tournaments all over the world, you know?
Right,
but,
right.
This is our territory, so we're gonna kind of cultivate it as our own thing. So it was very, yes, it was very CONCACAF-y in that sense. But because of those two PKs, I think that Chivas, I don't know what I'm talking about now. I think Pumas was the better team when it comes to just the, you know, finishing their shots, like kind of like finishing their chances. I know I got into a little bit of a quip on Twitter, but you know, it was a Wednesday, the game itself wasn't going to be scheduled, I think, until like 8:30 or 9
Pacific.
Local time in Mexico, yeah. You know, right. So it was like, there was a whole work day before people were actually going to get to the stadium, you know? So I know they were like, there's not that much, hype, that doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz, but once you got to the game, once you got to the stadium, once you saw the environment, it was raining too. Like, there was so much there that I think Pumas really felt and came out really strong you know, throughout the game. Of course, it was an encroachment thing, and so then they got a penalty. They got to retake the penalty, blah blah blah. But then Dineno did this thing, you know, excellent header, and just like you said, like, oh wow, they're gonna actually do this, and they're gonna do this strongly.
I like to call him Dinero. Okay, the dude is money. I was dominant that game. He was great, you know. And we interviewed Sebastian Salcedo on Pumas, right? And he's the only Liga MX player that we've interviewed, like active player. And even when we were in. We went to Ciudad de Mexico for the Mexico-US game, and that was my first time there. And that's where Pumas play. And Sebastian like DM'd us. He's like, "Yo, you in town? Let's link up." And I'm like, "What? This is crazy." we didn't get to because he ended up like training or something. But I remember when we spoke to him, he said like. The Rock Heel, thank you for subscribing. Very much appreciate it.
Also, kind of slightly missed Alexis.
Alexis, that's it. We got a little bit of it, right? So he was saying that Liga MX players, like, they can't just walk around CDMX. You know, they can't just live their lives. Like, they are incredibly famous and people will stop them, and whether it's at dinner or whatever. So the idea of us being at some restaurant with both for Salcedo, and we're just like hanging out with
you guys. You guys would have definitely been in like through the inner or something. At some
who's Buffo dating now? You know what I mean? Like all the
Salcedo's NYCFC. You with the Cooligans. They work for NYCFC.
That's the kind of publicity we need. The Rock Heel said UEFA CONCACAFs every once in a while. That's right. It rubs off on everybody. So that's all good. So it is 2-2. I'm going to I don't know how much the refereeing is going to be a part of it, but I think like you said before, the home field advantage has to go a long way. I think
Seattle has like less than 1,000 tickets left, if I saw correctly, you know. And I mean, Seattle is Seattle, you know what I mean? I think there's, even from like a Mexican fan base standpoint, people are saying that like Seattle, like they're, you know, they're a different animal when they're kind of like hungry in that regard. So I think that home field advantage is going to be pretty intense. You know, I know that some people wanted to downplay the significance of like Pumas being at home. But I don't want to do that with Seattle because I've seen like Seattle in finals and all this stuff. And I think it's going to be a really intimidating atmosphere to go into, especially as the second leg and, you know, Seattle coming off of capitalizing on their late penalty and everything. Yeah. But that all being said, Pumas' season has been super impressive and they've come out, you know, whether it was like Cruz Azul last season or whoever, they've come out sometimes and just completely dominated a game and taken the win, and you're like, I don't know how Pumas did it, but congratulations. And I feel like that mentality is going to be there when they go into the match tomorrow. So I think there's a lot of people that do see this as like Seattle is probably the favorite because of all these different scenarios, and especially because that this last game is going to be at home. But I can also see Pumas like fighting till the end and like securing the win. I like, for me, it's like a 60-40.
Okay. Yeah. For Pumas. I would say the same, but in reverse. I think obviously, you know, every time CCL and especially when an MLS team is in the final, everybody's like, an MLS team has never won it. Can they do it? You know, winning an MLS team winning CCL will heal the world's problems. You know, everybody, they really think the world is going to change after an MLS team wins.
Like, you know, those cartoons where like everything's gray and then there's just like a wave and everything turns color, right, and everything. Like,
that's what
an MLS team when CCL
was like. Go.
I will say there is a slight petty part of me that is like, you know what? I want you guys to win. I want MLS to win because I want to see everybody wake up at like 4 a.m. for the Club World Cup, just to see them, just to see them lose.
It's a gift and a curse, you know? Okay.
You gotta... Actually, no, I would, it would be cool to see how far an MLS team could get in the Club World Cup, but there is that also petty part of me that's like, wake up at 4 a.m. and watch, right. You know, your team play a dismal, like, 1-0 loss.
Colo Blanco, when you lose to Gremio out in some place. Colo Blanco said, May the 4th be with the Sounders. That's right. The game will be on May 4th, the Star Wars Day. And Crimson Pizza said, I'm not like a, you know, a total nerd, you know, about it, but I watch all of them, you know. I also kiss girls, so you know, there's a balance. I try to keep a healthy thing about it. But yeah, are you a big Star Wars person?
I am of the like black sheep kind. So I was obviously younger, like when the second phase rolled out, so like the Anakin one. So I know a lot of people hate them, but because I was little and that was like my first exposure to Star Wars, I love them. And I've seen the old movies where people are like, oh, but it wasn't this, and they came out with like little cafes and diners in the middle of like Tatooine, how dare they, blah blah blah, you know, all this stuff. But I actually really like it. I'm very, very excited for Obi-Wan to come out soon.
Okay, I would also say Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One, is probably the best Star Wars, like, individual film, the most well done, complete story from beginning to end. So if you haven't seen Rogue One, I highly recommend it. Okay, awesome. Krinta Pizza said, I landed at the Guadalajara airport once and I watched a Chivas player get mobbed trying to leave. He had bodyguards and everything. It was wild. Do you remember which player? Crimson, just so.
And what year? Because we could probably decipher which player it is, depending on the context that you give us.
Be fun. Crimson Pizza said, if an MLS team wins CCL, Christian will eat real bagels again, and all will be right with the world. So I don't know if you know this detail. Because my fiance is a nutritionist, she gets bagels, which are paleo bagels. So they don't have like the traditional. They're not made the same like way with the same regular bread and dough and all that stuff. So. This is a big talking. People, apparently, they get very offended that I still have regular bagels from time to time. But the fact that this is part of my diet at all is people feel like it's a personal attack on what they choose to eat.
It's okay. I don't like chocolate, so people also feel like they're personally attacked. I don't like chocolate either. I think you were one of like two people that responded back to that tweet and was like, I'm not a fan.
Like, it's fine. I can have it, especially like the more diluted it is, like chocolate chips and stuff like that. I can like, I'm fine with it. You don't even like that. You don't even like any.
This is my comparison, and I apologize to everybody in advance. So I'm just gonna preface this, okay? I can deal with blown out diapers 100%. Like, I have no problem. Nothing. Like, it will not faze me.
Which also kind of looks like chocolate sometimes. Okay.
Then that's my point.
Yeah.
Melted chocolate. Mm. I am like, oh my God. Like, just take this away from me. Like,
Ruined it. Yeah. Yeah. Poop ruins, you know, things for a lot of people. So I don't blame you. It's all good. Okay.
So yeah, so that's always my thing about like, how much do you really hate chocolate? I'm like, this, like, it's like
sure.
It's like the exact opposite. Although there are photos of me when I was a baby with like Oreo all over my face. But I'm like, that was a different time. I was a different person.
Don't let those photos leak out of Amelia doing blackface. You can't. Don't let those leak out. Tell mom to keep them in the photo book. All right. All right. Okay.
Come out with the notes. A very long
apology. Yeah. Okay. Then you're gonna need the whole agency to craft the apology. Okay. All right. Let's talk. Let's wrap up. We have a couple quick topics to discuss, and you know, I should talk about. Obviously, you are in Los Angeles, and Angel City. So let's talk about some NWSL stuff. Angel City had their home opener, their first NWSL match, regular season match, at Bank of California Stadium. And there's few times where I see like especially a team's first game, and I'm like, man, I should have been there. That was like one of those games. So I'm like, wow, this feels like it's something really, really special. So what you know, I went to LA when Angel City revealed their kit, so I got to see that. That was an unreal experience. I'm literally in the room with Mia Hamm as the kit is being revealed. You know, 8-year-old Christian is like, whose life is this? This makes no sense. But Angel City and their kind of rise and prominence, and it seems like they're really making a name for themselves in LA. What did you think of that first game?
No, I wanted to be there. I knew I had to be there, and it was a very historic moment. You know, I think that I went with my brothers and a group of their friends, and I don't think I've talked about this too much, like really publicly, but it's a huge part of my life. Is like I grew up with like primarily men around me, you know, and so my development as like a woman came at a very late time in my life. And as the Liga MX Feminista started, and as like NWSL and even national team, all this stuff, like I'm still very much, and I say that self-reflecting, in like an infancy when it comes to like just understanding like the differences in women and, you know, all that stuff. Like it was a very closed off environment that I existed in. And we can have discussions, right, when it comes to gender and nature and nurture. And it's like, they weren't that progressive just because that's what Mexican men were like, you know, and that's what my dad was taught and stuff. It's changed now as time has gone on. But right. So with all that being said, you know, it was a very interesting dynamic to go with them as we all become progressive, because it was like I had like my brothers who are not machistas by any shape, way, or form, but, you know, they carry a very significant weight to them as they are as men and blah, blah, blah. And then like there was like we sat really close to the supporter section where like Rebellion 99 and all of them were. And so like my one of my brothers is like right next to me. And then we had like an elderly woman, and she was like so excited for the match. And she's like there, she's like really close to the supporter section too. She's out there like, you know, like getting turned and whatever. And then like her family came in, and there was like this, and she had like a daughter or a granddaughter, I would assume. And it was like, my friend describes watching the Liga MX Femenil in Mexico. She said that she like stopped what she was doing because she couldn't comprehend that there were women on her TV in Mexico playing soccer professionally. Right. And there was like a part of me in that moment that felt that way, watching like, you know, like this really mixed demographic of people at a women's professional soccer game in the middle of LA. And like the bank already had this concept, like, you know, this like preconceived notion because of LAFC and the 3252 and, you know, just like that environment there. That to see it replicated for this game, and Angel, and on top of that, Angel City scores early on in the match, you know, and everybody starts celebrating and it's cheering and it's so loud. And like, there's a moment where you just kind of go like, holy crap, you know, like women's soccer is in LA and people are enjoying this. And it's taken a long time for like women's soccer to get here, but it's here. And it's a very cool like feeling to have. And yeah, I think after the fact that I'm like talking to friends that didn't go or, you know, stuff like that, they're like, it looked insane to think about that. This is, you know, this is a women's game. And, and it was a good performance on the field. You know, it was just a good feeling. And maybe it had like a more family-esque environment than you would see like in men's matches, but it was mixed. It was still mixed at the end of the day. And like, you know, it wasn't just women and children. And, you know, it was like, it was a whole array of people from LA there.
I want to like add to that point where there was a tweet from Pablo Maurer talking about going to an NWSL match. And he was like saying it as like a term of endearment, but just saying like, went to an NWSL match and these were like the freakiest people I've ever seen. There were just people from all walks of life, whether it's like LGBT, whether it's like people with tattoos, face tattoos, pink hair, purple hair. Like there is a different feeling when you go to an NWSL match where it is family friendly. It is progressive. It is it's one of the few events and experiences where all these people have something in common and can share something together. So that's why that part of it is like beautiful, where it's like, yeah, there's like a bunch of weird like soccer nerds and people just wildly dedicated to the game, and there's a sense that, you know, we have to support it, otherwise it might fail or fold like some of the other leagues in the past. But this game, I think will, you know, I don't know how Angel City are gonna fare in this season. In Challenge Cup, they didn't really look.
And that, I think that was a huge factor into it too, right? It's like there is a sense of pressure on this game, and you did watch them during the Challenge Cup, and you're like, I get it. It's a new team. They still have to get used to each other. So let's kind of use that as an excuse, or not as an excuse, but let's take that into consideration. But then your first match is against the Courage. So how is that going to work out? I think the Courage actually finished, if I'm not mistaken, at the top of their group for the Challenge Cup, right?
I don't remember.
Or maybe it was rain. I don't remember. I just know that there was a...
They're historically pretty good.
Yes, they're pretty good. So there was, you know, there was that. There was like, I hope they score. I hope it's a fun game. But right. Hey, they might not have everything worked out in a way that like the Courage will probably have, just right. because of their historic prominence and stuff. Right. But then they scored really early. Not to say that North Carolina didn't give a good performance, because I think they also had a few good chances. I think they have a good couple of quality players on their team as well. But it just felt like the stars aligned for Angel City, for them right. to have like the perfect home opener. And, you know, it was really cool to be a part of it. And I think they actually ended up selling out the stadium too. So that was really cool.
Right. It says the attendance was 22,000. And Crimson Pizza said, I want to support Angel City as a lifelong Californian. I think Crimson Pizza might be in Northern California. I'm not sure. They said, but it feels bandwagon-y since I haven't followed NWSL up to this point. Enough of that. Enough of that attitude. You know why? Go support Orlando Pride. Doesn't matter. NWSL could use your support. So don't stress too much about that at all. There were comments from the team captain, Ali Riley, who is from Southern California and got very emotional talking about how she, when she first started playing professionally, it was the Soul, the Los Angeles Soul. Sol, not soul, like a shoe. So I don't want to say it too. I don't want to be too gringo on this, but she was talking about how she was hoping that she got drafted by them, and that was in that was WUSA, if I'm not mistaken, that league. But she was she basically saying that it was like a dream come true to have a home game. Her parents could come see her play in Los Angeles. Really, really cool. Obviously, when it comes to the ownership group and Natalie Portman and all these Mia Hamm and all the former players that are involved in Angel City, but to see it all come to fruition and sell out the stadium, and even in the Challenge Cup game that was in what college was the game held at?
Fullerton.
Say that again.
Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton, right? So, yeah, I think you were at that game as well, right?
Yeah.
So, and they had I think they sold that out as well, or there were definitely a lot of people there.
There was definitely, yeah, there was tons of people.
So, it is looking like, you know, you love to see it work out, because, you know, when it's all, when they do they show the kits and the marketing campaigns and the owners, and it doesn't always work out perfectly, but it's really to have a successful women's team in Los Angeles, I think is crucial to the success of the league, without a doubt. And the fact that they didn't have one for so long is kind of incredible. But I think the time that you know they went without a team allowed them to really prepare to have something like, I think, really, really stable. So so that was cool. The other thing I wanted to show everybody, and we can just react to the championship rings that the Washington Spirit.
Can we get to the best photo of the night, though?
Oh, which one?
I just want the King one, the 100% pure swag, just. I will never be this cool photo.
Wait, which one are you referring to?
The one where she's it's her yellow cape and she's like,
oh, the Michelle Kang one. Yeah, I don't have it ready, but I'll find it in a moment. Right. But this is like, I haven't seen the championship rings for other NWSL seasons, but I feel like this is a little bit more appropriate and a little bit more, you know, a better, at least acknowledgement or investment in winning that championship. So, you know, if you haven't followed along with the Washington Spirit, they had a lot of issues with their owner. They basically ousted the owner and one of the minority owners who all the players loved and supported ended up basically ousting the other guy, was his name Steve Baldwin, and it worked out. And the owner, yeah, Michelle Kang, who wears a cape, she is a complete superhero and completely owns it. I feel like her influence is in this, because every decision, it seems like going forward, is like we're going to treat these players with complete respect, because that wasn't really what was happening in years past. And these championship rings are, I think, are a sign of that. These are massive. You see Michelle Kang there with her cape. But these are legit massive rings, diamonds everywhere. So you love to see it, because this is commonplace in men's sports, but I don't know if I've seen this in women's sports. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but this is pretty incredible for them.
I would not know either about the championship rings, but I think that storyline, it's just getting such a deserved kind of like happy ending, if you will. You know, like there was just so much drama involved with the ownership and everything that's happened in the NWSL. I know that there are still things that are happening now where, you know, it kind of like opens up wounds and, you know, you're kind of just wondering, when is this going to end? When is the change going to finally take place? But I think to have this moment where they're kind of celebrating the efforts that they put in from last season, right, with the new ownership, with this like new era with the team, makes it special. You know, I think women's soccer a lot of times has to deal with, you know, kind of like trenching through the mud, and then we can get to this happy place, and it comes with the territory. And you often, every time you have a celebration, you do have to think about that, right? You have to think about, oh, there's just so much stuff that's happened in the past. But I think that was really cool. I think it was a really cool moment for the team, for, you know, everybody involved with the club now, and, you know, for like the people that have also been following it, for the fans that have been that have both been supporting and both making themselves being so vocal about what's wrong with it. And I think that's a huge factor that shouldn't be taken lightly about why this change is happening. You know, I think it's just been like a really collective effort from everybody involved. And, you know, it's very, with this and just like, you know, different situations, but this and Angel City and everything, it just feels like, you know, to take it from like a personally relative point, you know, to see like when you watch the Liga MX Femenil kind of grow and become this thing of like what it is now, and it's still continuing to grow. You know, it's cool to see that also in the NWSL. It's been around longer, and it's, again, like I said, has had to deal with its own downfalls and problems. So
this also just came out today. Ben Olsen, who was a former head coach for DC United, became the Washington Spirit president. And a lot of people were not happy with that appointment, because they essentially felt he was friends with the former owner. And you can see in the caption there from Team Just Women Sports at Just W Sports on Twitter, said team owner, why Michelle Kang wanted Olsen to give up the position of president to focus on soccer operations, but Olsen chose to step down instead. So a lot of people felt that he was not qualified for this position. He was a head coach, and then now he's like doing kind of like business stuff for the club. And some people are saying she's cleaning house. She's fitting the club in like in her image, and so capes for everybody is what I say. I wanted to get one. There was one photo you could see her here with the cape. I mean, this is an absolute boss. I mean, she should have been at the Met Gala with her cape yesterday. So it was pretty impressive. So, but shout out to the Washington Spirit, man. They won their home opener. I believe they're playing in the Challenge Cup semifinal real soon. And I think they might be the favorites for that as well. They're an absolutely incredible team. The last thing I wanted to mention was the NWSL CBA, which is available. You can see it on the NWSL website.
PA website, right?
Yes.
I've seen it, right?
So you can it's available. Everybody can just go and read it, which is pretty cool. It's all there. It's too much to go through. But the fact that they are being this transparent, where everybody can see it, they signed it just the other day in the home opener. I think was it the home? I think it might have been.
They like had a table like on the side of the field. And it's we're gonna do this now.
It's a big deal because, I mean, just a document like this, not only for women's sports, but in women's soccer, it is at least that declaration of like, all right, stop being shitty to us. We're writing it down. It's just so, I mean, we try to like find some levity in it, but it's like, you know, story after story. I can't even remember the Houston Dash coach that got is now
the most recent case. Yeah.
And it's like like DJ Khaled, another one. I'm like, stop.
I think this has been shared on social a few times as well. How far can the curse words go on the show?
They go pretty far.
Okay, so it's like, fuck again, you know, right? And you're looking at this. With that being said, it's like this came out because of all the efforts of, again, it just goes back to like, you know, we really had to like go through trenches to get to this point, but the investigation is taking place. And that's one of the reasons that this was even able to kind of like be brought back to light. I think in the past, right, and we've seen it, within the last year or so, it was like, oh, we're saying bye, and then give no context, and then, like, a few weeks later, or, like, a few days later, like, I honestly felt like when this happened, and I said this to some colleagues, I'm like, is a story gonna get released soon? Like, I felt like something was gonna, like, this was a being, like, proactive, but, like, really, like, in a really reactive way. Like, it was like, oh, I need to get to this. But even in the way that they got to it was better than what we've seen in the past, because it felt like there was way more context. It felt like whoever was in charge, whether it's press releases or whatever at the club, realized, hey, we can't just like kind of like brush it under the rug.
Right.
Like, it has to be, there is a structure now in place. And a lot of it does have to do with the players. A lot of it has to do with former players getting into that mix and stuff. And while it's terrible where you are, you're like, God damn, are we doing this again? At least there's steps in place that, yeah, we're going to start cleaning out. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're going to clean house the right way now.
Yeah.
Even if it sucks that we have to do this again.
Right.
And then, of course, it goes back and forth, because I think he came out and negated any, you know, denied any of the allegations or blah, 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 blah. But.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's like a standard sort of like nowadays. But there's NWSL fans are in a tough position, right? Because there's a little bit of like, when, you know, obviously they don't want these stories, you know you wish it just wouldn't happen, but there's a little bit of like a thirst for blood, like when they hear about somebody doing something wrong, they just like it's not as simple as get them out of the game and it's just snap of the finger and they're gone. Because I imagine that the reason it's challenging is because there's like legal issues, and you can't just fire someone without cause or proof or whatever. Like it seems like the burden of proof is somewhat high, so that the league and the clubs don't feel like they're at the risk of being sued for like, you know, false, you know, termination or something like that. It just seems like in general, this is like, and in the business world, everybody's pretty much trying to cover their ass in some way, but it shouldn't be to the point where it's people covering their ass is at the risk of like the physical and mental well-being of the players. It's not, we can't just wait around while y'all figure it out and the players have to suffer through it. So this is why the CBA is a big deal, because at the very least it sets some sort of precedent and tone and boundaries of like. And there might be very simple things of like, let them drink water during like things like that, where there was nothing in writing to at least have that kind of procedure. So the fact that all these players really fought for this and got this done really, really does say a lot, because it's going to be the foundation for the future of the league and the future players in the league as well. John Carl Tritt said, who hasn't hit the like button yet? That's right, because we're spitting nothing but the hottest of hot takes, okay? Everything we said here is going to go viral. It is going to be clipped. It's going to be on all the blogs, okay? I think Amelia is going to get canceled for having Oreo on her face when she was a baby. It's going to be – there's going to be a lot of backlash. So so hit the like button if you have not yet. Pepe Zidane,
if you hate Oreos too, subscribe right now.
Bebes Dadan said, I prefer Liga MX on the women's side more than the men's side. I honestly think Liga Femenil and the women's national team are building towards something special. I'll say this, because I occasionally will watch some Liga Femenil matches, and year after year it's getting better and better. I just saw, like, through the internet posted, like, some, I forgot who hit the shot. It might have been somebody from Cholos. Or Cholas, the left-footed banger that hit the corner the other day. Forgot who it was, but it was very, very impressive. But the Mexican women's national team, this is where I'm concerned, because I still think the gap is still, even within CONCACAF, they're better than a couple of the other competing nations, but it's still, the gap with the U.S. is still, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's way too wide.
No, it's like a whole highway. It's a whole highway with like super fast traffic. Like there were there's just no shape, way, or form yet, right? In recent times that it's closing. But I agree. I think that I think the Liga MX Femenil is getting to a place where it's like really, really special. I do think that there's issues in parity, because like we've seen quite a few times. The Regios still very much dominate the finals, which is exciting, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of us who collectively and objectively follow the league kind of go, you know, it would be good to have different champions. Not to say that they don't deserve it, because hey, they got to the final, and that's the product of winning your games, but I do think holistically, when you're looking at the season, not just the playoffs and everything, I do think you get a really good round of golazos. In fact, I think a team that didn't even qualify for Liguilla, I forget which team and which player it is. I want to say it is Juarez. I could be entirely wrong, but somebody actually is nominated. A Liga MX Femenil player is nominated for the what is it called? The goal of the year for FIFA.
Oh my god, why am I forgetting? It starts with a P, no?
Yes.
Puskas. I was saying, I was thinking Pichichi, but that's the
Me too.
Puskas. Yeah. Yeah, oh, so, that's great.
So it actually got nominated for a Puskas. I think it's like, you know, the preliminary rounds and stuff that. But I think that I think the Liga MX Femenil is growing. I think what we're seeing from the players that play in the league is translating over to the national team. I'm really excited about this upcoming CONCACAF W tournament. Our first game is actually against the U.S. Mm. Are we going to win that? I don't know the idea that I say no, but can we draw? Can we draw if we figure out how to put like 10 players behind the goal?
I mean, look, if Uzbekistan can score against the U.S., anything is possible. Those going to be interesting. Those are in the summer, right? Those are coming soon, I think in July.
Yes, it's going to be July 4th to the 18th. I'm actually planning to travel there. So that's my quick little shameless plug. If you guys haven't started following the FootMex Nation, we're going to be doing some cool stuff over the summer for covering women's Mexican women's soccer in English. So
okay, amazing work out there. So Colomanco said top goal scorer in La Liga is Pichichi. That's correct. That's where I was thinking of. Amy, thank you so much for joining me. Seriously, it's been super, super fun. I appreciate it. I know it was short notice. Shout out to all the guest co-hosts that we've had the last couple days. Alexis will be back next week. So Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, live here on YouTube. Alexis, we'll be back. We'll be at OSNYC doing our show as usual. And a couple things. Yeah, obviously, if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so. If you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans, and join our Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have exclusive podcasts. We did one with Alexis in London. So you can hear about how that trip was going. It's where, you know, we do a no cap recap podcast where we can, you know, it's what the stuff that we say when the mics are off, but we turn the mics on, but we don't share with, you know what I mean? It's a whole thing. We're still working on the branding of it, but it's pretty cool. So join the Patreon, and our full interview with Molly, Meatball Molly McCann, the UFC fighter, it is on Patreon right now. You know, maybe we'll 2v1, if you do we think we can win against a UFC fighter, Alexis and I against a UFC fighter? Who would you bet on? What do you think?
I really like this show, so I'm not gonna answer. I really want to come back on.
The optics of these two Latino men fighting this small UFC fighter from Liverpool, and also really, and get beat up very badly. We're going to lose very, very badly. The spectacle alone might be worth it. For the views, Amy, for the views.
The exhibition of it all.
It might be fun.
It was an honorable defeat.
Okay, so yeah, go check out that interview on Patreon. Anything else? Follow Amy on Twitter, Azteca Amelia with 3 A's at the end. Is it the same on TikTok?
Yes.
Okay, it's the same everywhere. And yes, I can't stress this enough. Amy is an absolute beast on TikTok. Super funny. Posts a bunch of stuff. Anything when it comes to relatable soccer content, especially on TikTok, Amy's one of the best on there. So please go follow her ASAP. Okay, that is it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody here on YouTube. Y'all the absolute best. If you're listening to this podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Do all the things you're supposed to do. Do your homework. You know, figure it all out. Figure out your life. I don't gotta tell you what to do. You guys are the absolute best. We will see you next week. Amy, thank you again.
Thank you.